So here we are in the third week of January, or if you will, the third week of the new year, the third week of 2020, the third week of the decade, as it was mentioned. So we're the third week of a lot of things, and also the third and final week of this kind of mini series on the new year. And we've been talking about this whole idea of stopping and considering. And today I want to talk about and continue to look in this idea of looking forward and dreaming with God. So 2 weeks ago when I started this series, I revealed some pretty disappointing news when I read the top 10 resolutions, right? It's pretty disappointing. It was pretty discouraging that not one of them mentioned anything about faith, about increasing our faith, about discipleship, about the church, about God, nothing. So, which really indicated where we are as the human race in our desire to grow spiritually. It's, by and large, doesn't even rank up in the top 10 of the things that we want to do. So as we started this year, I had said that I wanted us to consider some things that have a little more substance, that might have a little more meaningful impact, some resolutions that might make an eternal difference, that might make a difference in somebody else's life, instead of having these resolutions that make a difference only in our own lives. Things that can actually make a lasting difference or a lasting impression. Some things that can be further reaching than me just losing a few extra pounds during the new year. We have been looking at Job 37:14, and we'll look at it just briefly this morning, which says what? Hopefully you remember it. It says, stop and consider God's wonders. That's what I've been encouraging us to do in the beginning of this new year, is to stop and consider God's wonders. So in the last 2 weeks, I've challenged you to stop and take your spiritual temperature, if you will. Measuring your God a barometer, if you will. 2 weeks ago, I said we ought to spend some time looking backward, some time doing some redemptive remembering. I asked you to think about what were the hardest things that you endured in 2019. Because sometimes the best way to recall what God has done for you in the past is to look at the hardships that He has carried you through. Not to relive them, not to dwell in them, but to simply recall them. Because I do think we also have a problem where people tend to want to dwell on them or relive them. That's not what I'm suggesting we do. I'm simply suggesting that we remember them as a means to offer us hope of the way that God can provide because of the way He's provided for us in the past. And then the second thing I said that we ought to do is remember the blessed moments in your lives in 2019, and then also the things that we are most thankful for in 2019. Because if we are able to remember the things that we are most thankful for, or the things that we are most blessed with in the past, it gives us hope for future blessings as well, right? If you remember the blessings of the last year, it gives us hope for the blessings that God might have in store for us in the new year. And then last week, I said that we need to look forward, that we need to stop and consider and look forward and consider the projections of promise. And we looked at the book of Proverbs and some pretty amazing promises that God has for us. A long list of amazing things that God offers to do for us if we are willing to agree to the terms. As we begin a new year, one of the things that we might do is dream. How many of you like to dream? We all like to dream, right? Dream about what our vacation might look like this summer. Dream about the new car that we might purchase, or the new job, or dream about this or dream about that or dream about what our future might be for our kids. We have dreams, and we like to think about what those might look like. Dream about what we want or what we hope for, because let's face it, that's generally what our dreams are about, right? What we want, we dream about what we want, we dream about what we hope for. The problem is with dreams that oftentimes they are not in alignment with God's will, right? And that is a big problem. The dreams that we have, as I said, are what I want or the hopes that I have, but oftentimes they aren't in alignment with God's will. So this morning I want us to continue looking forward. But instead of looking at the promise that God gives, I want you to think about what it looks like to dream with God. To dream with God. As it is written in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love God? Do you love God? If you love God, then you have not seen or heard or conceived what he has planned for you. Isn't that mind-blowing? Isn't that mind-blowing? We cannot even see it, hear it, or conceive it, what God has planned for those who love him, which is each and every one of us. Dreaming with God in 2020. Do you really believe God's promises? We went through a bunch of them last week. Do you really believe them? What would you like to see God accomplish in the year 2020? What would you like to see God accomplish in your personal life? What would you like to see God accomplish in the life of your family? What would you like to see God accomplish in the life of this church, or the church in general even, in 2020? Give you a second just to think about those things. What would you like God to accomplish? Now, you've probably already have those things rattling through your mind. You're thinking about it, and you didn't even have to think about it long because you've already been thinking about it. But I want you to remember this. This is what Henry Blackaby says when it comes to dreaming with God. He is the author of the book called Experiencing God. And he says this, not dreaming your own dreams and then asking God to join you in those dreams, but dreaming God's dreams for you and then adjusting your life to come into agreement with those dreams. How often do we do that? Don't we oftentimes just say, okay, these are my dreams. This is what I want for my family, for my life, and for my church in 2020. God, this is what I want. This is what I dream for. Will you make it happen, Lord? Will you do that? Henry Blackaby says, no, we got it all wrong. What we have to do is dream God's dreams. And then when he reveals his dreams for us, then we reposition ourselves or align ourselves with his dreams for us. John 10:10 says, I have come so that they can have real life and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. That is the Message version. The NIV says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So what does Jesus mean in this text? What does Jesus mean when he writes those words? Is he talking about earthly riches and glory? Is he talking about fame and fortune? Is he talking about winning the lottery? Or is he talking about spiritual life, vibrancy of life, finding worth and purpose for you and your family? I think Jesus is referencing the latter part. I have seen God honor this passage many, many times in my own life, life of the church. But it's one thing to dream God's dreams, and yet quite another thing to actually see God's dreams accomplished in your life. See, we can dream God's dreams, but oftentimes we don't actually see them realized. We don't actually see them accomplished. This is what Proverbs 29:18 says. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. The Word of God says if we can't see what God is up to in our midst, then we're just going to stumble all over ourselves. And I would say the same is true of the church. If the church can't see what God is up to, we're just going to stumble. And what happens when you stumble? Oftentimes, you fall. But then he goes on to say, but when we attend to what he reveals, if we see what he is revealing, if we embrace what he is revealing, then we will be most blessed. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we want to be a church that stumbles over ourselves? Do we want to be individuals that stumble over ourselves? Or do we want to be a church that experiences God's blessings? Because like everything else in life, it's easy to see things that you don't have. It's easy to see the things that we don't have, right? Why is that? Because we've become so comfortable with the things that we do have. We've become so comfortable with the things that we do have that we oftentimes like to focus on the things that we don't have. I have this, but boy, I really wish I had that. My challenge for all of you this morning is, as we dream with God, is to see. My challenge is, as we dream with God, is to see what God is doing. What God is doing in your life, what God is doing in the life of the church. Because I promise you, he is doing something in both. He is doing something in your life, and he is doing something in the life of the church. See, our ability to see or not see them determines if we stumble or if we experience his blessings. It's not whether or not God is doing something or God isn't doing something. It's whether we are able to see it or perceive it or not. If we are unaware of the things that God is doing in our midst, then I ask why. Because I'm telling you, God is doing something in your life, and he is doing something in the church, and if you can't see it, we need to ask the question, why? And I think there are a couple of reasons. Here's the first reason why. I think some people have faced so much hurt and so much disappointment in their lives that the thought of God actually doing something good in their lives is a foreign concept. They've experienced so much hurt and so much disappointment and so much heartache that this whole idea of God actually doing something positive or good in their life is just not even on their radar, because all they've ever known is hurt, and all they've ever known is disappointment. We, however, cannot allow past disappointments to put blinders over our eyes and block the good that God is up to. Second thing, some people can't see the good that God is up to because we have become so content to stay right where we are. Some are content in their cozy little life. They can't see what God is up to in their life or in their family's life because they're content with where they are. I'm content with the life that I have built, so I can't see the greater thing that God is up to because I don't want to, because I'm content right where I'm at. This one's going to sting a little bit more. Some are so comfortable in the cozy, nice little church that they can't see what God is up to. because I'm just content with my cozy, nice little church. And when we become content, then we can't see what God is up to. See, here's the problem. When we're growing up in the church, we've always been taught this. Be content with what you have. Right? Be content with what you have. How many times have you told your kids that? When they beg for something? No, you need to be content with what you already have. When we beg for something bigger and better, no, somebody's always saying, you need to learn to be content with what you already have. And the problem is we've taken that mindset a little too far. We've carried it into our churches and into our lives and into our spiritual life and say, no, we just need to be content with where we are. And so here we are, finding ourselves just a little too content. And sometimes I think that's the other reason that we don't see the good that God is up to, because we have become too content with what we have. A couple of questions for you as we end our Stop and Consider series. Are you content with the amount of Jesus in your life? If you are, and by the way, you shouldn't be, but if you are, then you won't likely see Jesus knocking on your door to offer you so much more of himself to you. If you're content with the amount of Jesus in your life, then you won't hear him knocking at the door. You won't see him or hear him trying to offer more of himself to you if you're already content with the amount of Jesus in your life. Are you content with where the church is right now? If you are, and by the way, you shouldn't be, but if you are, then you most likely won't hear Jesus knocking at the door of the church and offering us much more of himself. If you are content with where we are as a church, then God can knock on the door, he can pound on the door, he can do everything he wants, but if you're content with what the church is, you probably won't see it. If you are comfortable and content, you most likely won't be searching, right? And if you are not searching, you ready for this profound statement? If you are not searching, you most likely won't find what you're not searching for. You most likely won't find what you're not searching for. I can tell you this, I'm not content with how much Jesus I have in my life, and I'm not content with where this church is right now, and I hope you aren't either. I hope that you aren't either. As we navigate 2020, I'm asking you to do three things. I'm asking you look back and remember. I'm not asking you to relive. Just remember. I'm asking you to remember the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because I assure you that in 2019, there were some good things, there were some bad things, and there were probably some pretty ugly things. Please, I beg of you, don't put yourself back in there. Don't relive them. Don't dwell in them. Move forward from them. But look back and remember them. And remember the good that God did through those things. The second thing that I'm asking you to do is this. Think about the projected promises of Jesus. And there are many. Scripture is filled with them. And the third thing that I'm asking you to do is this. Together, with me, dream with God. That means all of us together as a church dreaming with God. Not dreaming about what we can do. We need to quit dreaming about what we can do. We need to quit dreaming what we want to do and start dreaming with God about what he can do. And then I'll align ourselves or position ourselves for those things. See, we spend too much time trying to align ourselves for the things that we dream of. We need to spend more time aligning ourselves and positioning ourselves for the things that we dream about with God and the things that He can do and wants to do. I shared this verse several times in the past, and I shared it last week. And why do I share it so much? Because I absolutely love it. And it's Ephesians 3:20. I'm not sure that I've actually shared the text before. And it simply says this: He is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power. The last part is awesome. That is at work within us. Yes, it's God's power, but it's at work within us, and it can accomplish far more than we can ask. And I will close with this. Isaiah 55:11, another text that I absolutely love, another text that brings so much encouragement and so much hope, and it says this: So the word that goes out from God's mouth, which is His word, this word, the scripture, the word that goes out from God's mouth will what? Will not, are you ready for this? Return empty. It will not return empty, but it goes on to say, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose in which it was sent. Whatever God says in His word, whatever promise He made in His word, whatever word comes out of His mouth will not return empty. It will not return void, but it will accomplish what it was sent out to accomplish. Basically this: if God says it, we can claim it. So this really is what I want us to do. Together, let's set aside our past disappointments. Let's set aside our past contentments. And together dream with God about what immeasurably more looks like in our lives and the life of the church. And then expect to see it and expect to receive it. Think about that. God says He is able to do immeasurably more. What does immeasurably more look like for you? What does immeasurably more look like in the life of the church? Obviously, we can't put a finger on it. We can't quite grasp it, because it also says it's immeasurable. But just think for a moment what that might look like in our lives and in the lives of the church. And then according to Isaiah 55:11, we can expect to see it and we can expect to receive it, because it does not return void. It does not return void. It accomplishes what it was sent out to accomplish. Can you imagine that every time you did anything in your life, it accomplished what you meant for it to accomplish? Instead of maybe being like just a small percentage of the time, right? But God's word says that everything that He says and promises does not return void and will accomplish its purpose. Let's dream together God-sized dreams. Let's dream together what God wants, what God can do, not what we want or not what we can do. Let's dream together what God can do, what God wants. Let's believe it and let's receive it. Let's pray. Lord, You are a good, good Father. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the promises in Your word. Lord, I thank You that You want to do so much more for us. Lord, I thank You that You want us to stop dreaming about things that we want and hope for. but Lord, that we start dreaming with you. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us to dream with you. Lord, I pray then that you would give us the courage in the perseverance and the strength to position ourselves and align ourselves and align this church with those dreams. It's one thing to dream the dreams, and it's another thing to see them come into reality. Lord, don't allow our past disappointments to blind our eyes to the things that you are doing and want to do, the good that you are doing and the good that you want to do. But Lord, I also pray that we would no longer be content with where we are in our spiritual lives and no longer be content where we are as a church, and be open and take the blinders off to the good that you are doing and the good that you want to do for us in the new year. We ask all these things in your Son's name.